Welcome to another edition of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, we are finishing up on our biblical study of sin, the doctrine of sin, in our extensive series entitled The Great Doctrines of the Bible. And in concluding this somber and very serious and grave subject, the Bible diagnoses man's problem as the problem of sin. He has disobeyed God. He has rebelled against his authority, and he continues to flout his laws. This started with our first parents. We, as a race and a people, were in Adam. He was our federal head. And when he failed to obey God, his sin was then passed down to all of his descendants, thus producing sinners who are born in rebellion and defiance against God. And once the person is old enough, at a very young age, he or she begins to manifest this sin nature in their rebellion against God. We also looked at what sin does to individuals, who the first sinner was, Satan himself, and how he led man to follow in his sinful wake. We've seen what sin does to the spirit, soul, and body, and there is only one remedy, one divine remedy. It is not religion. It is not a religious act. It is not doing good works. It is not trying to be nice to everybody and doing good. None of these things can remedy the sin problem. There is only one person whom God has appointed who has brought the permanent and eternal remedy for our sins. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Messiah, who is God in the flesh. And so we've been describing the things that Jesus Christ, our remedy for sin, has done for us. He has bore the curse of the law. He has brought us cleansing from our sin. He is our healer. Sin in the Bible is compared to the loathsome spread of leprosy. And interestingly enough, in Isaiah 53, the rabbis interpret the Hebrew there for when he bore our sicknesses and infirmities. They actually say that in the Hebrew that can mean he bore our leprosy. And sin is leprous. It spreads. Its influence corrupts. Paul warned the Corinthian church of this when he said, "Evil communications corrupt good manners." And he also warned against tolerating sin in the corporate presence of the church. Sin is like leprosy, and we are moral lepers. We have defied and disobeyed God, and we have contracted the leprous disease of sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ brings us healing from our sins, spiritual healing, as the good physician, when he, as our great divine empath, took those sins upon himself and thereby removed their vile, leprous influence. He did it, and did so without becoming leprous or sinful himself, because he is the perfect, sinless one. The Lord Jesus is the remedy for our moral leprosy. He is our divine healer. What Jesus did in the natural when he healed all those who were sick, he does also in the spiritual realm with all those who have been diseased and sickened by the plague, the leprous spread of sin. The scripture says he himself bore our infirmities upon himself. And Jesus is the great healing tonic for the sickness of sin. He is the cure for its disease. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we praise him for that. Jesus is our great healer. And in fulfillment of Isaiah 53, he bore our sicknesses and our infirmities. And Matthew gives the historical fulfillment of that in Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And that's because Jesus healed all those who were sick and oppressed and possessed of the devil. And that brings us to another aspect where Christ is the remedy for our sins. Sin enslaves. It keeps us in bondage to our corrupt fallen nature. Therefore, Jesus as the remedy is our great liberator. He is our deliverer. He delivers us from the power of sin. He sets the prisoners free. Whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed, Jesus said in the Gospel of John. We who are once sin-bound and chained to our self, our corrupt self, I should say, have been freed that we might serve God in love and in self-sacrifice. That's because Jesus set us free from the enslaving power and bondage of sin. When the Lord Jesus went into the synagogue in Luke chapter 4, and the Haftorah reading for that Sabbath happened to be the messianic prophecy of Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, where Isaiah, or the Messiah speaking through Isaiah, tells what the Spirit of the Lord has anointed him to do. And in that parashah, in that great messianic prophecy, part of Messiah's ministry was to preach deliverance to the captives, those who are bound. And the Lord Jesus spiritually did that and is doing that to all those who will come to him, seeking freedom from their own sins. Unless Christ intervenes, we are enslaved to the habit of sin, whatever that sin is. And he alone can break that power. The Lord ultimately will free us from the power of death when we are raised by him with incorruptible, immortal, glorified bodies. Lord, the Lord Jesus, in his liberating power, sets us free from the law of sin and death. And although on this earth, after we are saved, before death, our old nature still remains, yet the impartation of the new nature keeps the old nature under check and wrestles and fights with it and breaks its dominant hold it once had over us, because Jesus is our deliverer. And the Lord is the one who remakes us. We were born in the fallen and corrupted image of Adam. Our old man, as Paul calls him in the book of Romans, is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And this sin that that Adam passed on has marred and corrupted us. But through the grace of the Lord Jesus and by his power, the Lord gives us a new nature, thus making us a new man. The Lord does not improve the old man. He replaces the old man, the old nature, with a new nature, a new man made after the image of Christ. This brings transformation to the sin-sick soul who is forgiven and empowered to live for God and with God and serve him. Praise the Lord. It is the result of the cross of Jesus Christ that he, in the words of Christian writer Herbert Lockyer, Jesus takes sinners, quote, from the dunghill and places them upon the hill of Mount Zion. Amen. That's so true. Again, Herbert Lockyer says, Christ can take sinners from the dunghill and place them among the princes. And I would add, he takes us from the dunghill and places us on Mount Zion, the heavenly Mount Zion, the book of Hebrews speaks, so that we might rule and reign with him on his throne. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus is our goodness. Paul, when he indicts and proves that all of humanity, Jew or Gentile, is guilty before God for sin, he quotes the psalm where the psalmist declares the dreadful truth of the universality of sin. Paul says, There is none who does good. There is none who does good. Now, I can hear the objection even from Christians who say, wait a minute, you're saying that there is no one who is good? Well, again, what Paul is saying here is that there is none who does good all the time, 100% of the time, and does good perfectly as God does good. Paul in Romans 3 quotes Psalm 14, 1 through 3, Psalm 53, 1 through 3. He says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And then he goes on to say, there is none who does good, no, not one. And again, that means one who continuously does good all the time, 100% of the time, and performs this goodness with moral perfection. No man can do that because all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious goodness. So, the whole human race has become corrupt through sin. Romans 3:23. But Jesus is our goodness. Sin has made us bad in every way, but Jesus died to make us good. And such goodness comes alone from His sovereign grace. That's why the psalmist can say on this subject, my goodness, speaking to the Lord, he says, my goodness does not extend beyond you. You meaning the Lord, and that is true. We cannot manufacture goodness. Only God, only Jesus can be our goodness, and from Him living in us, reach out in goodness to others. So Jesus takes our bad, miserable lives and turns them into good as the remedy for sin. When the Lord Jesus Christ saves the sinner, He does not evolve the new life from the old life of sin, but imparts a new life, producing a new man in the believing sinner. And that's why we become new creatures. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. So the Lord Jesus is our goodness from first to last. The Lord Jesus also is the one who brings us truth in exchange for the lie of sin. He takes away the lying nature of sin and gives us truth instead. Satan is the one who lies, and he is the father of lies. He is not only the father and author of sin, but all that is false and all that is a lie. But Jesus came to be the truth, the embodiment of truth. What He says is right in accord with reality and is the most accurate description of whatever. Man's condition, God, salvation, etc., etc. But to those who live under sin, they are deceived. They spread falsehood. They are ignorant. Those who are outside the saving influence of Jesus Christ and His truth are under the dominion of sin's deception, its falsehoods, its lies, spreading ignorance and deception everywhere. But Jesus has come as God's truth, speaking the truth about God and showing the right way to God. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is as the Spirit of truth, who enlightens us so that we can understand in order to discover the truth about God through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:21. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will lead us into all truth. And that truth will rest in the Word of God. Anything that speaks contrary to God's truth then will not be scriptural or biblical because it speaks against the Word of God. But Jesus promises the humble believer that He will lead them into all truth. John 16:13. Amen. Jesus Christ is the remedy for sin's darkness because Jesus is the light. Light and darkness, common spiritual metaphors in the Gospel of John. Light means to have the presence of God in your life, and that presence shows you, enlightens you, informs you about God, Jesus, and who He is and what His will is. Darkness is the opposite. It is the absence of God's saving presence in your life. And you are ignorant, without knowledge, and do not know who God is and what His plan is, or the way He leads us to walk in. And why do many men live in darkness rather than light? Because they love their sin. They love to be in darkness. They love it because they think they are in control, and they think they have the power to order their lives according to their own predilections, which ultimately, in the end, are used to serve self. But Jesus has come into the world as the light, and those who receive Him no longer are under the dominion of darkness or the powers of darkness led by Satan and his fallen forces, whose job it is to keep man away from the light of Messiah for salvation. The Lord Jesus is the remedy for this darkness of sin. He is also our rest. He brings us rest. And with rest we mean peace and total acceptability before God. Isaiah the prophet, several times in his great book, said the wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cannot rest. Sin creates stress, anxiety, restlessness, worry in the heart of the unbeliever. Sin disturbs, troubles, and disquiets the soul, robbing it of peace and tranquility. And we know from the Sermon on the Mount that the key to finding peace in the midst of being anxious and worried and stressed is to trust in God and the provision He has made through the Messiah, the spiritual provisions and the physical provisions needed to live in the present world. If we trust in the Lord and put His kingdom agenda first, Yeshua said, all these things, what things? Housing, clothing, and food will be taken care of. And I can testify to that. When you put God's work first, the issue of money and finances will, in the end, take care of themselves so that you will not need to fret or worry about daily needs, living needs. We can rest in God's faithfulness. And to all those who are oppressed, to all those who are restless, they can find peace, rest, and acceptability with God through Jesus, whose yoke is easy and His burden is light. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Jesus is our satisfaction. He alone satisfies the hunger, the thirst and hunger of the soul. Jesus alone as the bread of life satisfies our spiritual hunger to know God and to experience Him deeply. Jesus, as the water of life, satisfies our spiritual thirst for fulfillment and wholeness. And that can only come through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by believing in the gospel. Sin, on the other hand, breeds emptiness, dissatisfaction, unhappiness. The pleasures of sin are temporal and in the end leave their victims empty, dissatisfied, and miserable. In the words of Scripture, the sinner spends their strength for naught and labors for food or bread that cannot satisfy. Jesus told the Samaritan woman in John 4, pointing to physical water, He said, "Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again." And then He points to Himself as that spiritual water and says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst again." So He is the longing and perfect satisfaction of the human soul. And Jesus is our righteousness with God. Not sin, I believe 1 John tells us that sin, all sin is unrighteousness. John says that, I believe, in his first epistle. When a man sins, he ceases to be in right relationship with God. He becomes crooked, perverted in his thoughts and his ways. But the Word of God tells us Jesus Christ is the one perfect being who knew no sin and who was never guilty of doing wrong, committing sin. And He was wholly harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, Hebrews 7:26. Hallelujah. Jesus is our righteousness. We are made righteous through the active obedience and passive obedience of Jesus. The active obedience is when He lived the perfect life while on earth, and His passive obedience was when He died for us on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, and then gives us His perfect righteousness. And therefore we are made right with God through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus obeyed the will of the Father perfectly, and He gives us that obedience so that Jesus becomes the sinner's righteousness. The Lord our righteousness, Jeremiah said He would be. The Lord our righteousness, and that is fulfilled in Messiah. Sin, as we have told you, is the absolute disregard and transgressing of God's law. It is to disobey divine righteousness, wherein a breaking away from the divine standard and the divine right to command are disobeyed and denied. But once the believing sinner turns to God and is saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, all self-righteousness and unrighteousness are fully dealt with. We must come to the Lord Jesus empty-handed and spiritually naked, not acting like Adam and Eve or the wicked guest who entered into the wedding feast of God's Son in Matthew 22:1-14 and came in without the proper garment. We must be clothed in the garment of Christ Jesus' righteousness, a righteousness outside and foreign to ourselves, a righteousness that emanates from the very person of Jesus Christ, a righteousness that is perfect. When we come to the Lord Jesus empty-handed and naked, He then can dress us in His righteousness. He then can clothe us with His righteousness. And in exchange, Jesus takes away all our sins, our unrighteousness, if you will, from us when He gives us His perfect righteousness. That is part and parcel of the gospel. The righteousness, the perfect and imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, freely given to the sinner upon faith, has made a full provision for the guilt and government of sin. Through the atoning work of Jesus, he is able to save from the penalty of sin. And because Jesus rose from the dead and is alive forevermore and now intercedes before the Father in heaven, he is able, through the Holy Spirit, daily to save us from the power of sin. He died to save us from the penalty of sin. He ever lives to make intercession for us, to save us from the power of sin. And when he returns the second time, he then will deliver his saints from the presence of sin, within, without, and all around. And I can hardly wait for that day when the Lord shall do this. The Bible takes sin very, very seriously. Sin is the most serious thing that comes between us and God. And if it is not dealt with, and if we don't accept God's heaven-sent remedy for sin, then that sin upon death will send us to hell forever. And that's why God sent His Son, to bring a cure and remedy for the sin problem. When we look at what the Bible says about sin, we see that it is a very serious matter with God, and therefore it should be a very serious matter with man. The reality of sin and God's exposure and diagnosis of it in His Word tells us of the exalted place and the high view of man's nature at the beginning. God made man in His image, His spiritual image, and with the incarnation by the second person, you could argue also that divine image also includes the physical image. But God made man in His image. God made man in His image and made him upright, sinless, and innocent. But man fell and disobeyed his Creator when he listened to the voice of Satan, the great tempter. When man sinned, he became disobedient and he was reckoned a sinner. After man disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, that act made Adam and all of his descendants sinners. Sin then became a state, a disposition, a nature, if you will. Sin is extremely serious with God, so much so that it took the sending and the giving up of His own Son to save us from sin. God gave heaven's best so that man could be freed and redeemed from sin. So we better take sin seriously. Sin in the believer's life, though it cannot terminate salvation, can break fellowship with God. If one falls away into sin as a believer, his fellowship with God is broken, not his salvation, since salvation and eternal life rest upon the Savior's faithfulness to save us and keep us saved. But when we sin or fall back into sin as believers in Jesus Christ, our fellowship with God is broken and must be renewed through confession and repentance, confessing our sins to God and resolving to battle sin and surmount its corrupting influence. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit and only by the dynamic grace of God can we do these things. When the Lord Jesus returns for His church, our full deliverance of sin will then be accomplished. All of sin's destructive work has been conquered and will be removed in the end because Jesus provided salvation and deliverance from sin when he died and rose again. In Adam we die, but in Jesus Christ we become alive and live. Praise the Lord. So believe upon the gospel. Jesus Christ is the only remedy for sin, and the gospel is the only medicine that can heal us of sin's terminal disease. Well, until next time, shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.